Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of Living and Walking by Faith. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 4, verse 16, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul has been using Abraham to prove his point that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And we've looked quite extensively at that. Since Abraham lived 400 years before the law was given, the law played no role in his justification. He also was declared righteous before God at least 14 years before he was circumcised. The Jews were insisting that adherence to the law and circumcision were necessary to be saved. They were even trying to impose these things upon the Gentile believers. That's why Paul is so fiercely contending with them. So they said it was necessary to adhere to the law and be circumcised in order to be saved. Paul says no. He says we are saved under the new covenant just as Abraham was in the past. And how was Abraham saved? Paul, quoting from Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, as Paul is arguing his case in somewhat of an incidental way, almost, he says a few things about Abraham's faith that I think will better help us to understand what it means to live and walk by faith. So that's what we want to consider together. Our natural inclination is to let what we see, hear, think, and feel govern or control us. That is our natural inclination. To live or walk by faith is to trust God above what we see, hear, think, or feel. And what Paul tells us here about Abraham is basically that. That is exactly what he did. So here, in a sense, Paul, he's talking about, you know, in a general sense, Abraham is, he's justified, he's declared righteous by faith, but he's giving us some insight in more specifically into what that faith looked like. And that's what we want to consider. So let's pick up in verse 16. Let me read through verse 22. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so, as I said, Paul gives us a little bit of insight into what that faith of Abraham looked like. But the first thing that I want to point out to you is the object of Abraham's faith and also the object of our faith. God and his word are the object of our faith. Our faith is in God and it's in his word. Some people have the idea that if you just have enough faith, faith is the object in a sense to some people. So it's all about just having enough faith. They're not really thinking in terms of what your faith is in. It's just, hey, well, as long as you have faith. But the Bible doesn't teach that there's any value in simply having faith. It's where your faith is placed. It's where your trust is directed. And the Bible calls us to always have faith in God and in his word. That's the kind of faith that the scripture is talking about. Now, we're told here a couple of things about God, a couple of wonderful things about God that will encourage us in our faith and our trust in him. Number one, we're told that he gives life to the dead. So we're talking about the God who can do anything. Basically, that's what Paul is communicating here. He gives life to the dead. Secondly, he calls non-existent things into being. So we're talking about a God with whom nothing shall be impossible. And what we need to remember here in the 21st century AD is that the same God that Abraham understood to give life to the dead and call non-existent things into existence, the same God for whom nothing is impossible, that's the God that we serve today. That's the God that we know today. That's the God who we are putting our faith and trust in. We have a tendency sometimes to think of God and his power and his miraculous deeds and his immediate deliverances and things like that. We have a tendency sometimes to think of that as all having happened in the past. It all happened way back in history at some other time, and we get to read about it in a book, but that's about as far as it goes. But that is not the case. What we read in this book is a picture of what God did then, but it's also a promise of what God will do from generation to generation for those who put their faith and trust in him. So, remember that. God and his word are the object of our faith. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is what we're told about Abraham's faith here. We're told that it was contrary to hope. Who, contrary to hope, or another way to put that would be that Abraham believed against all the odds. You don't exercise faith when you can see something. You don't exercise faith when you can logically put it all together and draw a fairly accurate conclusion. You have to exercise faith when it seems like everything is going in the exact opposite direction of what you thought it was going to go, what you believe God told you, the direction that it was going to go in, the direction you hoped it would go in. You see, that's where faith comes in. This is faith's challenge, to look through all of the things that seem to contradict the promises and believe God to keep his word. And this is so often what happens. God gives us promises. We embrace them, we lay hold of them, and then we find ourselves in the midst of circumstances that seem to contradict everything that God told us. George Mueller put it so beautifully. He said it like this. He said, "You will never learn faith in comfortable surroundings. God gives us the promises in a quiet hour. God seals our covenants with great and gracious words. Then he steps back and waits to see how much we believe. Then he lets the tempter come, and the test seems to contradict all that he has spoken. It is then that faith wins the crown." You see, this is what happens. God gives us promises, but any of us that have been around for a while, we know this, that God gives us a promise, but there seems to be a lengthy period of time between the giving of the promise and the fulfilling of the promise. What's happening in between all of that? Our faith is being challenged, our faith is being tested, but more importantly, our faith is being strengthened, our faith is being refined. That's what's happening. And so this is the challenge of faith, to keep holding on to what God said, to hang on to those promises, and despite everything around you, to just stand on, "I know what the Lord said. I know what he spoke to my heart." And in a bit of a different context, just in our faith in general, in the scriptures themselves and in the, you know, bigger declaration of what God has done for us through the person of Christ on the cross and all of that. Of course, there are skeptics, there are critics, there are people that are going to come along and say, "Oh, well, you know, the Bible, you can't really trust the Bible. It's an ancient book, and it's full of contradictions and a lot of mistakes, and we don't really know what happened back then, and, you know, you really can't trust it." And faith says, "I'm going to stand on the Word of God regardless of what the skeptics say, regardless of what the critics say, regardless of what they claim to have discovered that contradicts our position that the Bible is the Word of God." The sad thing is that, you know, in present times and back in the days when liberalism was really gaining momentum in the church culture and the liberal theologians were challenging the veracity of the scriptures and so forth, a lot of people, sadly, lost their faith. They bought into what the liberals were saying, but, you know, had they only hung on for a bit longer, they would have found that there was no reason to throw off their faith because the liberal theories have all been disproven. They were wrong and continue to be wrong. But this is what faith does. In the midst of that kind of onslaught, in the midst of that kind of bombardment, faith stands on the Word of God, whether it be in the bigger sense of our overall understanding of the message of the Scripture, or the more personal sense of what God has spoken into my life as an individual. But as we read on here, we see concerning Abraham that he was strengthened in faith. It says here in verse 19, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." So Abraham did not allow the physical circumstances to alter his convictions or position of faith. This is where we have to really stand our ground, because this is what so often happens. We allow the physical circumstances. But he didn't do that. Instead, it says that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. So here's the question. How was Abraham strengthened in faith? Well, other translations, I think, translate verse 20 a bit better and give us the answer. He was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. In other words, rather than looking at the physical circumstances and wavering or faltering or staggering, he looks at the circumstances for sure, but he's not moved by those. Instead, he's strengthened in faith. How? He begins to give God glory. He begins to praise God. He begins to worship God in advance. He begins to affirm himself in the promises of God, giving glory to God. God, I know you're faithful. God, I know that you gave me these promises. God, I know that you're going to come through. God, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I know that you have been faithful from generation to generation, and you think back and reflect on all of the faithfulness of God. And as you're doing that, you're giving glory to God. And as you're giving glory to God, your faith is being strengthened. This is what's happening. We're, in a sense, we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord. So this is one way that his faith was strengthened, giving glory to God. But we're told in other places in the scripture about other ways to have our faith strengthened. In the 10th chapter of Romans, which we'll get to eventually, we're told that our faith is increased by hearing the word of God. So maybe you're thinking, you know, my faith is so feeble. How can you become strengthened in your faith? Well, begin to give God the glory. Get your eyes off of the circumstances, like Abraham did. He did not consider his own body already dead. Now, that's a pretty big obstacle to having a multitude of descendants that are innumerable. Another major obstacle is, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, these people have to have a kid. That's what they have to do. But you got a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. So, you know, looking at the physical situation, you could easily see how one would waver or stagger. But Abraham doesn't do that. He's not looking at the physical situation. And we likewise, we have these circumstances that we find ourselves in, and they seem to be contrary to everything that we believe that God has told us. But yet, if we get our eyes off the circumstances and back onto the Lord, and we give him glory, that will strengthen our faith. But again, hearing the word of God will strengthen our faith as well. The more we read the Bible, the more we meditate in the scriptures, our faith is strengthened, because in doing so, we see the faithfulness of God. We see the greatness of God. We see his awesomeness. We see his glorious power. We see how nothing is hard for the Lord. We see how with God all things are possible. We know this from what the scripture says about him. But then we've got all of these examples from history of how God has worked on behalf of his people collectively. He takes the children of Israel, delivers them from Egypt. He passes them through the Red Sea safely. He takes care of them in the wilderness for those 40 years. He ushers them into the promised land. He gives them the land. And, you know, you see, God is faithful. But then you go and look at the lives of individuals. You go back like Paul is doing here. You go back to Abraham, or you go to Isaac, or you go to Jacob, or you go further to Moses, or you go to David, or whoever, and you look at the lives of these people. And as Paul will say at the end of this fourth chapter, he will say, these things were not written for their sake alone. This is what we have to remember. Why were these things written down? Did God just want to have a record on hand that he could just, you know, point to or refer to? No, not only that. God had these things recorded to teach us that this is how he works in people's lives from generation to generation. The things that were written before, Paul will say later in this epistle, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. He says to the Corinthians, the things that happened to the children of Israel, they happened as examples to us. So you see, our faith is increased as we get to know the Word of God, because we're getting to know the person of God, the character of God, the faithfulness of God, and we're getting to know how He works in the lives of human beings. But thirdly, how are we strengthened in faith? We're strengthened in faith by believing that God is, not God was. God is, not God was. Now, of course, He was, but He still is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that He was. No, doesn't say was, does it? It says must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And what we're being told there is that faith believes that God is. God is present. God is active. God is moving today. Now, when you read the Bible, when you read through the Old Testament, when you come to the Gospels, when you get into the book of Acts, and you read all those exciting stories, you know, it all sort of seems to end right there, doesn't it? But does it end right there? No. The story goes on. The book of Acts is continuing to be written. It stops in our Bible with the 28th chapter, but it stopped 2,000 years ago as far as the record goes, but the story has continued on through the church and God's people for all of these centuries. And either we believe that, or we must conclude that God hasn't done anything in the world for 2,000 years. And of course, that would be the wrong conclusion, because He's done something in our lives. He's changed our lives. But this is how our faith is increased. Our faith is increased by believing that God is, by believing that He still works today. This is the beautiful thing about new Christians, young Christians. New young Christians are so naive, they don't know not to trust God. You have to be older in the Lord to learn how to not trust God. You have to be older to look at the Bible and go, oh, well, you know, that happened back then, but, you know, today that's not a, you know, it's a different day and age. You know, you've got to be more sophisticated. You've got to be more theologically savvy to come up with those kinds of things. You're a young Christian. You just read and go, wow, look what they were doing. Hey, let's try that. And guess what? Things happen. Just simple faith, trusting the Lord, believing God. So this is how Abraham was strengthened in faith, by giving glory to God. This is how we will be strengthened in faith as well. But then it goes on to say about him, it says in verse 21 that he was fully convinced, being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Are you fully convinced of what God has promised you? Listen, the devil will try to talk you out of your faith. He'll come into your head and he'll start reasoning with you. Let me tell you this, guaranteed, the minute you get a promise from God, the devil's going to come along and say, you can't believe that? Come on, what are you, crazy? You think God's going to do that for you? God's not going to do that. I mean, have you seen God do anything like that for anybody else? You think God's going to do something like that for you? Forget that. You can't believe that. Don't trust in that. The devil will come, and that's the kind of stuff that he will put into your head. But you know what? It's not only the devil that will try to talk you out of your faith. Sometimes your family members will try to talk you out of your faith, especially, of course, the unbelieving family members. They'll go, oh, you know, come on. You know, you're crazy. You've lost it. You've just gone over the top with this religious thing. I mean, you know, hey, we're all Christians. We all, you know, are religious. It's, you know, just be like us. It's okay. It's, you know, we're cool with Christianity as long as you don't go crazy about it. You know, people compliment you, say praise the Lord. Don't say praise the Lord. Just take it, you know. And this is the kind of stuff people get so agitated by, don't they? And they will come along and they'll try to talk you out of your faith.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Living and Walking by Faith. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Living and Walking by Faith. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0117. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.